No, not vidite. There is yasya avum cha, also jamma, birth, karma, activities, va or na nor nama rupe, material name or form, guna, qualities, dosha, fault, eva, certainly, va, either, tatapi, still, loka, of the cosmic manifestation, apyaya, who is the destruction, sambhavaya, creation, ya, he who, samayaya, by his own potency, hani, activities, anukalam, eternally, rachiti, accepts, tasmai, unto him, nama, I offer my obeisances, para, transcendental, ishaya, who is the supreme controller, brahmane, who is supreme brahman, ananta shaktaye, with unlimited potency, arupaya, possessing no material form, Uru Rupaya, possessing various forms. Namaha, I offer my obeisances. Ascharya Pramane, whose activities are wonderful. Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material birth, activities, name, form, qualities, or faults. To fulfill the purpose for which this material world is created and destroyed, he comes in the form of a human being like Lord Rama or Lord Krishna by his original internal potency. He has immense potency and in various forms, all free from material contamination, he acts wonderfully. He is therefore the supreme Brahman. I offer my respects to him. Purport, in the Vishnu Purana it is said, gunahamscha joshamscha mune vyatite vyatita samasta kalyana gunatmaho. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material form, qualities, or faults. He is spiritual and is the only reservoir of all spiritual qualities. As stated in Bhagavad Gita by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, paritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha duskritam. The Lord's activities of saving the devotees and annihilating the demons are transcendental. Anyone annihilated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead gets the same result as a devotee who is protected by the Lord. Both of them are transcendentally promoted. The only difference is that a devotee goes directly to spiritual planets and becomes an associate of the Lord, whereas demons are promoted to impersonal effulgence of the Lord. Both of them, however, are transcendentally promoted. The Lord's killing or annihilation of the demons is not exactly a killing of this material world. Although he appears to act within the modes of nature, he is nirguna above the modes of nature. His name is not material. Otherwise, how could one get liberation by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Rama? The names of the Lord like Rama and Krishna are non-different from the person Rama and Krishna. Thus, by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one constantly associates with Rama and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore becomes liberated. A practical example is Ajamil, who always remained transcendental to his activities simply by chanting the name Narayana. If this was true of Ajamil, what is to be said of the Supreme Lord? And when the Lord comes in the material world, he does not become a product of matter. This is confirmed through Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Rama or Krishna, descends to act transcendentally for our benefit, we should not consider him an ordinary human being. When the Lord comes, he does so on the basis of his spiritual potency. Because he is not forced to come by the material energy, he is always transcendental. One should not consider the Supreme Lord an ordinary human being. Material forms, names and forms are contaminated, but spiritual name and spiritual form are transcendental. Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material birth, activities, name, form, qualities, or faults. To fulfill the purpose for which the material world is created and destroyed, he comes in the form of a human being like Balarama or Lord Krishna by his original internal potency. He has immense potency, and in various forms all are free from material contamination. He acts wonderfully. He is therefore the Supreme Brahman. I offer him my respects to him. So this is, again, a description of the qualities of the Supreme Lord, somewhat to show the opposite nature of his qualities, or contradictory nature of his qualities, and at the same time to explain how that is possible in the Supreme Lord, while maintaining his absolute position above the material world. So the first line says that he has no janma and karma. And the second line says he has no name and form, no good and bad qualities. So on one level, that means he is impersonal Brahman. He's eternal, and he has no name and form or qualities. That is true, because in the Bhagavatam, it is stated in the first canto that the Lord manifests as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So that says, yes, he is, without name, form, qualities, activities, etc. At the same time, from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, anyone who knows about my Janma and Karma, he gets liberated. So, if he has no Janma and Karma, how can you know them and get liberated? How can you get liberated by knowing something which is false? You cannot. So then he has Janma and Karma also. So, therefore, we also have to take this in another way. We can't take it as just absolutely no birth activities, qualities, etc. As Prabhupada explains in the translation, no material name, form, qualities, birth, and activities. But that doesn't deny that he doesn't have that aspect of no form, no quality activities. Yes, he does, as Brahman. At the same time, he has spiritual birth, form, qualities, activities, name, etc., and good qualities. In this way, there is a little bit of a contradiction. He is both impersonal and personal. And both are transcendental. Brahman is beyond matter, and Bhagavan is beyond matter, with all those wonderful qualities. At the same time, absolutely, he's without material birth, material activities, material name, material form, qualities, etc. In any case, whether he is Brahman or Paramatma or Bhagavan, he is beyond all of that. So, therefore, this is how we can explain these words. He is impersonal and personal, and in any case, he is beyond matter. The next two lines describe how he accepts name, form, qualities, etc., birth, activities, for creation and destruction of the material world. So, how does he, by his maya, how does he do that? How does he accept these things? He is eternal and has eternal form and qualities, how does he accept qualities for creation destruction? That means they're not eternal. He accepts these things. One explanation is that a word like richati does not mean a time that at a certain time he didn't accept, then he accepted. It means he eternally accepts. Just as it says, the Lord assumed or accepted the form of Nrsimhadev and manifested before Hiranyakasipu. So that means he didn't have the form, and then he took it on, like he put on our clothes or something, and then he took it off again afterwards. That would make him material and temporary. So no, he suddenly manifested something which was eternal. So for creation destruction, he manifests those particular eternal aspects for certain purposes. Huh? So for a creation destruction of the material world, what does he manifest by his Maya? Which is eternal. One, of course, is forms of Paramatma, Mahavishnu, and Gavardakshaya Vishnu, and Shiradakshaya Vishnu. They're eternal also, but they manifest in function during creation, maintenance, and destruction. After that, it's all sleeping. Eternally, these forms are with the Lord, and they manifest in function at a certain time for creation and destruction of the material world. How is it possible that the Lord exists separately from them, and at the same time He is them?
By His Maya.
He is Paramatma and He is Bhagavan simultaneously by His Maya. He can be both and be one at the same time. That's His Achintya Shakti. He can be many forms simultaneously. So He is a functional form for creation and destruction of the material world, simultaneously in the spiritual world, separately. Another way of taking this is that once He's created the material world, He enters into it in different ways. Of course, guna avatars. Brahma, who's not actually Vishnu, and Shiva, who's not actually Vishnu. And so from creating some mason destruction, he assigns different persons to carry out His activities for Him. He gives them Shakti. And He also enters as avatar during that period. Guide the living entities during this whole manifestation. And those forms are also spiritual. They are never created or destroyed. Another way we can take this is that He manifests Prakriti into its components of Mahatattva and Ahankara and five material elements and sense devatas, etc., which form the material universes by His Bahiranga Shakti. And they take on material name, form, qualities, creation, destruction. Of course, Prakriti itself is eternal as well. At a certain point, however, they develop name, form, qualities, and activities, the aspects of Prakriti. In any case, it is the energy of the Supreme Lord. However, unlike the spiritual energy of the Lord by which He manifests Himself, and He's still transcendental, this is a temporary thing. The forms and qualities of matter are temporary, and then they disappear. That is the difference. Names for the qualities of the Lord are eternal, and they manifest in the world and disappear, but they're eternal, existing. Names, forms, qualities, etc. matter? No. They're created and destroyed. And once they're all in property, no name, form, qualities, activities at all. Therefore, in different ways, the Lord manifests His name, form, qualities in the material world, temporarily as Prakriti, and eternally in His different forms as Purusha avatars, Guna avatars, and Leela avatars, and Yuga avatars, Manvatar avatars in the material world. What this shows is that the Lord is supreme, and He is in charge of creation and destruction of the material worlds. He's in a superior position. Superior to the devatas and superior to all other jivas. And uncontaminated. The second verse then simply continues and says, therefore I should offer my respects to Him because He is in that supreme position as Parashaya. He is Supreme Lord. supreme controller. It can also mean he's supreme above every Isha, every controller. He's superior to the Devatas, he's superior to Shiva, he's superior to Brahma. The controller of all controllers. So he is in the highest position. Brahmane. I offer my respects to impersonal Brahman. So that is one way we can take it. The other, we can take that because he has said, I have no form of all of his activities in previous things. That is an aspect of the Supreme Lord, superior to matter, one of his aspects. Of course, the other way of taking Brahman is Supreme Lord, as we see in the Brahma Sutras. Atato Brahma Jigasa. Now we inquire about Brahman. Who are we inquiring about? Impersonal Brahman? No. We're inquiring about Krishna. So Brahman can also refer to the form of Bhagavan. So we don't always take it as impersonal. Sometimes we say Parabrahman to distinguish from impersonal. However, one way of understanding this is to take the root of the word. So Brahman has, of course, we have another word that comes from that, Brihat. What does Brihat mean? Big. So the root of that is this Brah, which means to expand, to increase. One who expands everywhere and causes everything else to expand. So in other words, he creates everything or manifests everything, and he pervades everywhere. In other words, he is the greatest. That is Brahman. As the cause, and by his very nature, he is the greatest in all aspects of time, space, and whatever. That is Brahman. So we can take that in two ways. One, impersonal Brahman, yes, that is the greatest, one aspect of the Lord. But the higher aspect of that is Bhagavan. That is the complete aspect, and Brahman is only the impersonal aspect, is only partial manifestation of the Lord, partial realization. So, therefore, Brahman refers to Bhagavan, spread everywhere. And, of course, these words we say, Parashaya Brahmane Anantashaktaye, they're actually the same person. So, the Supreme Lord is Brahman, and he is Anantashakti. Possessing unlimited shaktis. Why must he have shaktis? Why can't he just be Supreme Lord or Bhagavan or whatever? So shakti is a convenience or a way of explaining how the Lord exists and how he manifests before the jivas or anyone else. Anything else, huh? So, the Lord manifests a form, qualities, and activities. How? By his shakti. His intrinsic powers are there so that he manifests a form, qualities, activities, etc. In the material world, people have forms, qualities, activities. How do they manifest them? It is all material things. Combination of matter, etc. How did it happen? We don't know. Somehow it just happens. Bodies form, bodies grow, they live, etc. We can't explain how it happens. Now, if a scientist comes along, then he explains it. How? In terms of material combinations, atoms, molecules, etc. Why do they interact? Because of energy. That is why. There's some energy acting. That we have, of course, is finally it comes down to plus and minus. Electrical energies. This is how things combine. Protons and neutrons and all this into atoms, and they combine with other things by energy. Plus and minus energy combinations, compounds, right? Plus and minus bonds, isn't it? In chemistry? So it's all energy. and it takes energy to put them together, it takes energy to pull them apart, etc. Or when they fall apart, then they release energy, etc. So it's all in terms of energy ultimately. So we can explain the whole universe in terms of energy, Shakti. Which is basically what E equals MC squared is energy. It's all about energy. Yeah, defining the world in terms of energy. That is Shakti. So, Shakti is the cause of things, in other words, in the material world. So, we also accept that. Scripture also accepts that. The material world is Shakti. But it's not the only Shakti. It is Bahiranga Shakti. Material energy is there. And it is unconscious. So what is the difference between modern concept of energy and our concept? Material concept is the energy is independent. And it just happens by itself and goes on like this forever. But according to Bhagavatam, no, it is not independent. Bahiranga Shakti can do nothing on its own. It requires the input of the Supreme Lord. It requires His conscious will. Then He interacts and does whatever it's going to do. That's the big difference. So, therefore we say, we don't say the Lord is Shakti. He is the possessor of Shaktis. He is endowed with Shaktis. Of course, you can also say the Lord is Shakti and He's not Shakti. He is the possessor of the Shakti and He is the Shakti, because the Shakti and the possessor are non-different in one sense. How is that? Because of their intimate connection. They always exist together. So material energy is always there. Bahiranga Shakti is always there and never is destroyed. And it's always controlled by the Supreme Lord. And we have the Tatasha Shakti and the Antaranga Shakti, spiritual energy of the Lord. They're always there also. And they're also always connected by the Supreme Lord. And the Lord manifests His bliss through these Shaktis. So they're intimately related with the Supreme Lord. It is through these Shaktis that the Lord manifests His name, form, qualities, and activities in the spiritual world. It is through the Shakti that the material world manifests, and the bodies of the living entities manifest. For the jivas to get their sukha, or happiness in the material world. So therefore the energy is intimately related with the Supreme Lord. That sense, non-different. At the same time, different. So therefore we call it Shakti, and we call the Lord Shaktiman, possessor of the Shakti. So, the Lord has infinite Shaktis, Ananta Shakti. For infinite number of uses, doing different things. So we broadly have the three categories, Antaranga Shakti, Tadasya Shakti, and Bahiranga Shakti. Bahiranga Shakti begins subdivides into other Shaktis. We had Ahamkara and mind and senses and all the material energy, etc. And we get down to little particles of matter, they all have their individual Shakti there. Bahiranga Shakti. And then we have the Jivas. Infinite number of Jivas. They're all Shakti of the Lord. Infinite number of Tatasya Shaktis. And then in the spiritual world, the Lord has His Antaranga Shakti, yeah? And then we have three divisions. Hladini Shakti, Samvit Shakti, Sundini Shakti. And then Hladini Shakti, that also divides up infinitely. We have Radha and all of her associates, millions of associates in the spiritual world. All the gopis, Shakti. So, in this way we have infinite Shakti of the Supreme Lord, but ultimately we say one Shakti, and then it manifests into three, and that manifests into infinite, 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 like that. It's infinite, why? Because the Lord has infinite capacity, and infinite ways in which He expresses Himself. So, Shakti accomplishes it all. So, Arupa, He is without form. Uru Rupaya, and He has big form, or many forms. So, without form, of course, as Brahman, or without material form and spiritual form. Uru rupa, one sense you could say is the universal form, which is a big form, virat rupa. But that, of course, is a temporary manifestation of matter to express the Supreme Lord. Then we have the Uru Rupa of Mahavishnu, who encloses all of the universes. That's a bigger form. And then we have the Supreme Lord encompassing everything in existence, material and spiritual. When Krishna opened his mouth and Mother Yasoda looked in, he's the whole, everything in there, universe, inside Krishna. Everything inside Krishna. So the Lord encompasses everything in the material and the spiritual world in one sense. He's all pervasive. Or he has many forms. And still he's one form. He has many forms like Nishirma and Rama, etc. They're all one at the same time. So one big form because they're all made up of many forms. And so this idea of being Brahman and Bhagavan simultaneously, also by his Achintya Shakti. And he does astonishing activities, which means things which jivas cannot do and which devatas cannot do. And because they cannot do them, they're astonishing. Some activities are limited to the Supreme Lord. No one else can do them. So we look in the Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami defines 64 qualities of God, so then Jiva's going to have 50 of those qualities in minute portions, Shiva can have 55, and Vishnu has 5 more, which distinguish him from Shiva, demigods, and regular Jivas. So those are special qualities. Some of them are his activities. So what is one of his activities? He can create and destroy material worlds. Jivas cannot do that. Devatas cannot do that. They only do it afterwards, empowered by him. So in that sense, he has astonishing activities that no one else can do. What is one of the other qualities? From him, infinite forms of avatars manifest. So he has one, but he has many, many, many forms. So that is something that Jivas cannot do, Brahma cannot do, Shiva cannot do. Lord can have many forms, like Nishrimadeva, etc. No one else can do that. Of course, you can take that further and say that even Krishna himself can manifest infinite number of forms, which are the same form, as he does in Dwarka, where he has 16,108 forms simultaneously doing different activities in different palaces. But they're one person. How is it possible? Because it is his extraordinary nature, he can do so. It was so astonishing that even Narada was astonished. He could not understand how it's the same person, but simultaneously he's in different places doing different things. So even Narada Muni was astonished by his activities. So in this way, the Supreme Lord has activities. He performs acts which nobody else can do. And some of them are, all of them are astonishing because we cannot explain them. In that sense, we say they are achintya. So therefore, through the achintya shakti of the Lord does his achintya activities. So in this way, the Vijendra is describing Supreme Lord. These, of course, are general, very general descriptions. They're not descriptions of particular avatar or Krishna or anything doing particular pastimes. These are general qualities which will apply to all forms of Bhagavan. So in that sense, we can say they are philosophical statements. Yeah, the names of the Lord are spiritual, so therefore they must be eternal. So, Govinda is eternal, Gopal is eternal, Govardhanadhari is eternal, etc. You know, all these different names are Damodar, eternal. Eternal. Is this a spiritual word? Is this here? What's that? Well, when people address him, he responds. So obviously, he is those. Because what are the names? They're non-different from his qualities and his activities. All of the names will describe the form and the qualities and the activities of the Lord. That's what makes them primary names. If they are very general and they don't describe his particular activities, then they are called Gona names, secondary names. And by chanting them, you get liberation, but not Prema. So names of Brahman are there. Names of Paramatma are there. When we get particular names for particular forms of the Lord, like Shyamasundara or Govinda, then those are non-different from the Lord and his activities in the spiritual world. So they create Prema, or they manifest Prema for the Hindus. That is general, very general. General. Yeah. Okay. They can, basically, these forms like Paresha are like Paramatma. Okay. Describing this whole act, the whole thing actually is maybe to say Paramatma here, in the sense that describing his relationship to the material world, creator and destroyer of the material world. Then it is more like Paramatma. It's kind of in between personal names of Bhagavan and Brahman, halfway in between. Somewhat personal in the sense that he has a form to create the material world, but not very particular in the sense of relationships with his devotees. Yeah? So a lot of names of God are like that, and a lot of the qualities which are described in different religions are like this, very general. He is all-knowing and all-powerful and great and the creator of the material world and eternal. That's about as far as they finished. What is his form? What is his color? What does he do with his devotees? No, nothing at all is explained in all the other scriptures of the world. So it is basically up to Paramatma, creator of the material world, manifesting the material world. And that's about it. Oh, well, if we go on, we'll find other names here, probably. We have Paramatma here, Len mentioned in the next one, and whatever we got. Yeah. Because these are prayers, they're actually describing, they're a little bit philosophical, and they're describing in different ways. And we just have names, that's another, it's like Nam Kirtan or something, yeah? But afterwards he says, probably he does mention a few names here later on. Anyway. Well, does Shiva create the material world and stay beyond it? Does Brahma do so? No. No. Creation and destruction are temporary, Yes. Yes. Well, in one sense, he does them over and over and over again, yes? So he's constantly creating universes and constantly destroying them. So therefore, creation is a constant activity, which is eternal, and destruction is a constant activity. It's going on all the time, creating destruction in the material world. Just like we can also argue, well, Krishna lifts Govardhan downhill, then he puts it down. So it's temporary activity. He's not sitting there forever doing that. So temporary activity. No, explanation is he's constantly doing this, lifting up Govardhan Hill in some universe. And as long as the universe goes on, in some universe, he's going on like that, lifting up Govardhan Hill. So every activity of the Lord is eternal. What happens when the universe is all destroyed? The Lord creates another universe, which you can't see. And in that universe, he's still going on, manifesting forms, uppercut, of lifting up Govardhan Hill. So all the activities of the Lord are eternal. He said creation, destruction, all those other activities are eternal. Well, it's manifested and destroyed, as you said. Yeah. And another one is manifested and destroyed. Yeah. With different parts. Different portions of matter are being destroyed. But the Lord's activity is eternal. But a particular aspect of one universe is created and destroyed, and another one is created and destroyed. So we have to make distinctions there. As I said, there's some prayers will give general aspects of the Supreme Lord, and they're more philosophical. They simply, illustrate the position of the Supreme Lord. Others will be more particular in terms of the qualities, etc., of the Supreme Lord. But in relation to other forms of the Lord, all of these particular qualities will be somewhat limited because we don't have very elaborate descriptions of all the activities of Vishnu in the spiritual world or other forms, but we do have of Krishna. So therefore, with Krishna, when we get to Krishna, then through prayers we can, have Leela and Leela Kirtan and Guna Kirtan to a very great extent, which we cannot have with the other forms. So that's a particular nature of Krishna, that he manifests so many wonderful pastimes that we can elaborately describe those in prayers.
చందన్ 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 అదే రహమాన్ పెట్టి Sambil buka deh. వస్తున్నారా ఈరోజు ప్రసాదానికి? మంచిది సేమ్ ఈరోజు అవ్వకు ఆ బిడ్డకి చెప్పి
ఏకాదశి ఏకాదశి ఉన్నారా? నిన్న ఉన్నారా? నిన్న నిన్న ఇప్పుడైతే మనం పోయడం పోతాం ఆఫీస్ పోయిన కాల్షియం ఐరన్ ఏం తింటుంది కాల్షియం ఎంత ఊదిస్తున్నాం కాళ్ళు ఎంత ఊదినాం yes I want the record you will come no at that time you will
okay I'll give it
to you no?
give it to father
switch off the record